I'd call up my wife and I'd say, baby, who could draw crowds? Nobody can draw crowds like me. Nobody, not even close. I'm the greatest of all time, maybe greater even than Elvis, because Elvis had a guitar. I don't have a guitar. Elvis had a guitar. I don't have the privilege of a guitar.
Donald Trump on Long Island as his campaign continues last night, and with details on both candidates, where they're headed, CBS's Jared Hill.
Not known as a battleground state, although local Republicans and the former president are seeing this potentially as part of a battleground island with control of Congress up for grabs.
Amid heightened security yesterday, former President Donald Trump rallied in Long Island, a must-win district for House Republicans in a deeply blue state.
We can win New York.
Trump vowed to reverse a cap on the state and local tax deduction known as SALT, a cap he created with his 2017 tax cuts law. The former president also promised to visit two cities in Ohio and Colorado, claiming they're under siege by migrants.
They're destroying our country. We're getting them out.
In Washington, Vice President Kamala Harris slammed Trump's immigration proposals at an event for the Congressional Hispanic Caucus Institute.
They have pledged to carry out the largest deportation, a mass deportation, in American history. How's that going to happen? Massive raids?
In a possible blow to the Harris campaign, for the first time since 1996, the Teamsters Union declined to endorse the Democratic presidential nominee, choosing instead to endorse neither candidate. The union released internal polling showing more members support Trump.
It's a great honor. They're not going to endorse the Democrats.
But multiple local chapters of Teamsters have endorsed Harris, including in Michigan.
We can't allow Donald Trump to become president.
The former president is going to be staying in New York for a bit today, where he is set to meet with Jewish Americans in Brooklyn. The vice president is back in the battleground state of Michigan for a virtual unity call with Oprah.
CBS's Jared Hill in New York, and Donald Trump saying he's coming to IUP, Indiana University of Pennsylvania, and will come back to Butler at some point in October. The exact date and location is not known now, and as soon as we find out, we'll let you know. One of the big stories that affects everyone across the country is the Fed's rate cut. Now, normally, a lot of people, the Fed said this, the Fed said that, probably don't pay a lot of attention. But after 4 years, when they make a significant cut in interest rates, that's big news for everybody. Why? CBS's Jo-Ling Kent.
After months of anticipation, the Federal Reserve aggressively reduced the cost of borrowing for the first time in 4 years with a half-point rate cut.
Our patient approach over the past year has paid dividends.
The central bank sending rates down from their more than 20-year high.
What message are you trying to send American consumers, the American people, with this unusually large rate cut?
I would just say that, you know, the U.S. economy is in a good place, and our decision today is designed to keep it there.
Inflation has cooled off from its peak of more than 9% in 2022 to 2.5% last month, as the jobs market shows signs of weakening.
Is the Federal Reserve effectively declaring a decisive victory over inflation and rising prices?
No, we're not. We're not saying mission accomplished or anything like that. But I have to say, though, we're encouraged by the progress that we have made.
The effects of this rate cut will take time to trickle down to consumers. For credit card debt, a half-point reduction will mean $2 off monthly interest payments on a $5,000 balance. Payments on a new five-year $35,000 car loan will drop by $8 a month. And monthly payments on a $50,000 home equity line would go down by $21.
I may need a new vehicle, but those are definitely considerations that you have to take in mind during these tough times.
This jumbo rate cut is welcome news for Gladys Ospina in California, who wants to update her car and help her brother buy his first home as soon as possible.
So it gives us options in the case of my brother to be able to help him and see him in a better position where he's able to buy his first home.
As for what's ahead, the Fed forecasts there will be two more rate cuts in November and December, totaling another half point, with more coming next year. But Chair Powell emphasized they are deciding meeting by meeting. Jo-Ling Kent, CBS News, Washington.
So most of the experts thought that a half percent would be aggressive, but most were saying it would be a quarter of a percent. But they went for the full Monty, at least for now. And as you heard, expected to continue to lower interest rates into and through next year. That overall for consumers is good news, especially if you have variable rates that have gone up, up and up 5 points in the last 4 years. We'll be into the weekend and well beyond. And periodically, we check in with President and CEO of Visit Pittsburgh, Jared Bacher. Jared, good morning.
Larry, good morning.
Hey,
good
there you are. I can see you on the radio. I love this new technology, by the way. If you watch our stream at kdkradio.com, many of our guests are seen on the radio on video. So appreciate your time this morning, as always. How are you?
I'm well. How are you, Larry?
Good. And in our visits, let's start by talking about, you know, we're halfway through the month already and picking up a lot of steam. And Pittsburgh is in demand, a big travel destination, right?
It is. You know, right now, and you mentioned the home opener for the Steelers this weekend, which is always exciting. That's certainly a telltale that we're going into fall very quickly. But there's some really good examples of all of the types of events that Pittsburgh hosts every year. You know, certainly from a leisure standpoint, the International Jazz Festival is also kicking off this weekend, which is a huge cornerstone in our annual cultural calendar. We just finished what I think is amazingly the first national championship of the Special Olympics ever held in Pennsylvania, was held right here in Pittsburgh 2 weeks ago. They came and did their national softball championships here. So a really good example of how all kinds of sport comes into southwestern PA and really helps benefit our economy, helps keep a lot of our people employed and supports our businesses. It's such a great effort to have these individual events right here in Pittsburgh.
So you've talked about Pittsburgh hosting a trifecta of events. So you got sports and then the business and leisure segments too.
Yeah, so the leisure we talked about with jazz, and then on the business event side, the convention perspective, from a convention perspective, our convention center is busy year round. And this weekend is another really good example of how that building is utilized. So the National City and County Managers Association is in Pittsburgh holding their annual conference of 5,000 different individuals coming into the city. These are individuals who are running cities and counties all across the country. As we know, cities are facing some unprecedented challenges as they're coming out of the pandemic and going through recovery, dealing with the transition of office space and residential units and so forth. So much going on in these communities. So they're all coming together here in Pittsburgh this week to talk about what the future of cities and counties really look like.
By the way, back to the Pittsburgh International Jazz Festival, it's going to be around the August Wilson Center in downtown. For people who don't know where that is, it's near the convention center. It's like a block away, right?
Exactly. They're going to close down Liberty Avenue again. That's where it was a few years ago, as you'll remember. It's really exciting to see it back in the heart of downtown.
So overall, how are we doing in Pittsburgh?
We're doing well. You know, there's so much going on, obviously, throughout this year. We're gearing up for U.S. Open next year, which is always a great opportunity to put Pittsburgh back in the spotlight. As you know, the U.S. Open, the USGA is committed to Pittsburgh for the next 20 or so years. So we're excited to see them. And then, of course, building up to the 2026 draft and the year following.
Let's talk about the draft, because that's been in the news just recently, too, because you need marketing support financially and how it's a great way to generate. And we saw Detroit and the number of people that went there and how much money they spent there. Give our audience an idea of what kind of economic impact this might have in Pittsburgh.
Sure. So the range of economic impact varies from city to city. It depends on how much space and availability they have to welcome people in. Detroit was the biggest draft so far with over 775,000 people. Wow. They're estimating the economic impact being somewhere around $260 million for that community. So it's a massive footprint that they were able to deliver in Detroit. But obviously in 2025, it's going to Green Bay. It's a much smaller market. The numbers will probably be relatively small in comparison to what Detroit was able to deliver. And then when they come to Pittsburgh again, our footprint is much bigger, so we'll probably be closer to the numbers that Detroit was able to deliver.
Yeah, and thinking about that, there is a lot of work going on right now to prepare for that. That's not something that you wait to the last minute to do, right?
Oh, for sure. We've been working on this for the last 2 years, along with our colleagues at the Steelers. You know, this is a competitive bid process, and that's something that we have to keep in mind. When we started having conversations with the NFL in 2022, it would have been at this point, they had all kinds of options. And the NFL can take the NFL draft to any destination they want to in the country, whether it's an NFL market or not.
Right.
There's a lot of non-NFL cities that can still host this. You don't need a stadium. You don't necessarily need a home club. You just need a destination that's able to host it from a size perspective. So this is a competitive bid process. When we went to the Steelers, or when the Steelers came to us actually to start the conversation, we then had to go to the city and the county to say, look, we want to put in a bid to host the NFL draft in 2026 or one of the future years. In order to do that, we need to show the NFL that we've got some skin in the game from the local community. So at that point, the Visit Pittsburgh, we said we're going to commit $2 million to this effort. The county said, we'll throw in $3 million. The city said, we'll throw in $1 million. The corporate community said, we'll throw in $5 million.
Wow.
So we were able to put together a really aggressive bid package. And it's because of that, because of our infrastructure, because of the sports legacy that Pittsburgh has, all of that came together to be a winning bid for the NFL. And so those funds that we're able to collect, they'll go towards making sure that the NFL draft experience for all of those hundreds of thousands of people here on the ground is like none other. So we're really excited about where we've gone. The foundation is solid, and we're going to deliver one of the best drafts that the NFL has ever seen.
When you consider there's a potential for an economic impact of $250 million, that's why it's such a big deal, not to mention the imaging, which helps in the future then when you're trying to bring attention for conventions and other events to bring them to the region, right?
Absolutely. And when you think about this event, at the end of the day, we always have to remind ourselves that at the end of the day, this is an NFL event. To put this on, it's actually tens of millions of dollars that have to be put forward in order to make it a success. A lion's share of that, most of that, is with the NFL. It's their expenses. They cover those expenses. We put in some money here to make sure that the local community is ready, that we have the ability to market the destination in advance. So we have 700,000 people here on the ground, and making sure that the city is read up and ready to go.
Jared, appreciate the update. Thank you. Have a great weekend. Here we go, Steelers, this weekend.
Here we go. Thanks, Larry.
You got it. President and CEO of Visit Pittsburgh, Jared Bacher, brought to you by Visit Pittsburgh. By the way, if you haven't gone to the website, if you're, you know, a native, you live here, you go, wait till you go to visitpittsburgh.com. I think you'll be surprised at what resources you have on their website. Chinson of Animal General, LaSalle Plaza in Cranberry, is with us every Thursday at this time. Doc, good morning.
Good morning, Larry. How you doing?
Always good to see you, and you can see Doc, too, on the radio. If you go to kdkradio.com, check out our live stream. Any spotted lantern flies up north?
We haven't seen them yet. We're lucky, and I'm not bragging about that, so we haven't had them up in Harrisville.
You know, that said, just a sidebar, I was looking at them really closely, even though they're a nuisance. They're actually really beautiful.
Yeah, they are. They really are.
And they don't bite
people. They tell us to kill them, but it's a little bit hard when you see how pretty they are.
But they don't bite people. I think that's important if there's any.
Correct. And they're not toxic to our dogs and cats.
All right. That said, let's get to our questions from Tom in Greensburg. Dear Dr. Mike, my dog has started snoring loudly and occasionally gasps for air while it sleeps. Should I be concerned about sleep apnea? Boy, this is a great question.
Yeah, it is. You get these brachiocephalic, the short-faced breeds, the Bulldogs, the Pugs, the Boston Terriers, and their airways, because it's pushed in, there's not as much room, and so they can become somewhat obstructed. And what I tell people to do is watch them while they're sleeping to see if they're really gasping for air. That would be something you want to see your vet over. If they're tired all day because they're not getting restful sleep, and we all know what that's about, I would see your vet over that too. Allergies, it's imperative in these dog breeds to manage their weight. Don't let them get obese because that adds to it. Sometimes allergies cause congestion. You have to get those treated. So weight management, you know, allergies. And then if your veterinarian believes surgery might help, then surgery. Sometimes their noses are pushed in, stenotic nares, we call it. We can open them up and we can open up the palate in the back of the throat.
Well, obviously, we know many humans that have a CPAP device, but that's not practical for pets.
Right. We don't have anything like that for pets. You'd never be able to keep it on them.
No, absolutely not. That's a great question, Tom. Thank you. All right, Angela in Bethel Park. My cat seems to be drinking a lot more water than usual. Is this normal behavior as cats age, or should I be concerned? Thank you.
You know, I love that, Angela. That's a sign that something's going on, maybe with the kidney disease, diabetes, hyperthyroidism, urinary tract issues, UTIs, things like that. And even dehydration can cause that. But we call it PUPD. They start drinking more and then urinating more. Polyuria, polydipsia. Polyuria is urinating more. Polydipsia is drinking more. And when we see that, that's the body's telling us it's trying to compensate for something. It's a good time to have a checkup. Your veterinarian is going to want to do some blood work and a urine analysis, and all of those things can be diagnosed on that blood test and urine test. So I would get that in. I think that's one of the early signs that we can help manage these and have them live long, give them good quality of life and extend that lifespan and health span. So I would get it into the vet.
Another cat question, this one from Eric in Fox Chapel. My cat has started to refuse his dry food, but will eat wet food. Should I be concerned about dental issues or what might be going on?
You know, Eric, that's a good thought, thinking about dental issues. Cats get a problem. If you could, and try to do this safely, otherwise let your vet do it. If you can lift up the upper lip on your cat and look at those gums where the teeth come into the gums, if they look fiery red or really irritated or ulcerated, that's a bad condition in cats that we call gingival stomatitis. Gingivitis, everybody knows what that is. The gums are inflamed. Stomatitis is when all the mucous membranes in the mouth area are inflamed or ulcerated, and it's a bugaboo with their immune system. We think it's because of plaque on the teeth overstimulating that immune system, so we recommend dentals, but that could cause them not to want to eat hard food. Other things, tooth fracture. Sometimes it's just a fracture of a tooth, and they don't want to eat just like we wouldn't want to, and the soft food is easier. And then rarely we see oral tumors in cats, but that is something your vet will want to look for. So that would be a symptom that I would take in and have it examined. And you might be able to do that at home very quickly just to know how urgent it is.
Just curious, what are most people bringing their pets in for these days?
You know, I hate to say it. Fall allergies are the worst. So it seems like, you know, we say 70%, but it seems like 90% of the cases are allergy related.
Wow.
You know, skin issues, itching, scratching, coughing, sneezing. A lot of pets, cats and dogs. Frustrating for people too. So it's but we can manage those. We can manage those symptoms and make them feel better. And that's the one time of the year that I look forward to the frost, because we cut down some of the tick population and the allergies seem to abate a bit so that they get some relief for the wintertime.
Great info as always, Doc. Have a good weekend.
You too, Larry. Take care.
Dr. Mike Hutchinson, Animal General, LaSalle Plaza in Cranberry. You can go to kdkradio.com. We've got a link to animalgeneral.net. And feel free, if you have a question for Dr. Mike, you can use our instant access at kdkradio.com. Top of this hour, we're going to talk to Pitt Hall of Famer Bill Hillgrove, voice of the Pitt Panthers, in his 51st year, getting ready for his 56th doing basketball, and getting ready for a chance for the Panthers to go 4-0 heading into this homecoming weekend. And speaking of Hall of Famers, the Pro Football Hall of Fame announced the list of modern era nominees for the class of 2025, and as we always are here in Pittsburgh, Steelers well represented. So here's the deal. A total of 167 players are eligible, including 8 Steelers who spent all or at least a portion of their career with the Steelers. Those nominated include kicker Gary Anderson. Remember Gary? He was steady. Linebacker James Ferrier. He was incredible. Nose tackle Casey Hampton. Linebacker James Harrison. And keep in mind, James, you talk about not giving up. I think he was cut by Bill Cowher like 4 times and just kept coming back. He was like Freddy Krueger and has arguably the most memorable play in a Super Bowl with that pick from the end zone going 100 yards. against the Cardinals. Then, fullback John Kuhn, defensive back Allen Rossum, not real familiar with those guys, but linebacker Mike Vrabel, who played for Bill Cowher and then went on to the New England Patriots, actually as a linebacker, ended up catching a couple of touchdowns in Super Bowls and is now a head coach. And, of course, here's the one who should be in, have no idea why he isn't, is Hines Ward. And it's a shame because if you look at his numbers matched up against anybody else and what he was able to do and was a Super Bowl MVP, Hines Ward should be in. So selection committee will meet again early next year in advance of the next Super Bowl. And there's no set number for any class of enshrinees, but the selection process bylaws provide that between 4 and 8 new members are selected. So 8 Steeler names on that list, and it'll be interesting to see if any of them get in. Like to see Hines Ward's got to get in. Come on, man. Thinking about the Steelers' home opener, the Chargers come to town Sunday at 1, and the Steelers are 2-0, 2 road wins. That's hard to get in the NFL, no matter who you are, back-to-back to open the season. So that was the big challenge. So looking forward to the game on Sunday. We'll talk to Bill Hillgrove about Pitt's homecoming and get his thoughts on the Steelers, too.